Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We're going to continue our report from the hospitality suite hosted in Washington, D.C. by American Right to Life, 18 floors above the National Right to Life Annual Convention, 36th Annual Convention. But first, a couple stories. We announced yesterday to expect a news report on 9 News, the Denver NBC affiliate, and sure enough, Will Duffy, founder of the Collaborators Project, was interviewed and talked about ongoing protests of the Whites Corporation because they knew when they built the building it would be used to dismember unborn children. And so those protests continue. And as one protester said to Gary Megason on July 4th with 2 truth trucks and a dozen protesters outside his home, Gary Megason came out, senior Whites Construction Company VP, and the protester said, "Welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. We will protest you and other Whites executives because you've been tagged with permanent collaborator status. We will protest you for as many years as Planned Parenthood is killing kids in the facility you prepared for that purpose." And that facility is dubbed Auschwitz, Auschwitz.com. Okay, and in that news story, by the way, Planned Parenthood stated 2 lies. One lie, they said they came in 89 days ahead of schedule. And the other lie, they said they came in under budget. And that's funny because what is the report? The report is they spent over $6 million on this. Well, the Denver Post reported back last summer, the Denver Post reported that this was, a $4.2 million project. And so that's a 50% cost overrun. And with Leslie Durgan saying they came in 89 days early, you know, the firm that is selling the existing Planned Parenthood for them to move into the new abortuary, the mega clinic they built, 52,000 square foot abortion complex, that firm, Fuller, actually it doesn't really exist. It's a major Denver real estate firm that took on this fake name just for the purpose of selling an abortion clinic without it staining their actual reputation. It's Fuller 38, the name of the company they created. And the Collaborators Project called them last fall and posed as an interested buyer and asked about the property and what it would cost and what was the move-in date. And they were told the move-in date was June or July, June or July 2008. And this is the realtor who's selling the building. And so for Leslie Durgan to say it came in 3 months ahead of schedule, that's not true. It came in under budget. Well, that's if they misrepresented the cost to the Denver Post by $2 million. That's possible, no. And now we have the major, major story in Portland. A huge construction firm backed out of building Planned Parenthood's mega clinic in Portland, Oregon. Walsh Construction has backed out, and the president owner of Walsh has admitted to the media, to the Associated Press, that because of these collaborator project type protests, they are not going to build this abortion clinic. And you know that the head of the protest in Portland traveled to Denver a few months back. In fact, he was in this studio, and he met with Will Duffy of the Collaborators Project, and they worked out a plan, a joint plan for how to protest the collaborators, those who help Planned Parenthood kill unborn children. And we praise God for the success so far in Oregon and for the delay in the cost overruns here and for the launching of the Collaborators Project. Okay. All right. Now, we have this report out. This is a local news story. For those listening around the country, you might know one of these players. There's a school board member who was charged with assault, third-degree assault, for slapping and choking his teenage daughter. And he's a school board member, and he was being defended by an attorney who's also a school board member. And what's weird about that is that second attorney, his name is Dave Thomas, and he's the former Jefferson County District Attorney who was involved with the Columbine cover-up. According to Brian Rohrbaugh, Dave Thomas is the primary architect of the Columbine cover-up, and there was a cover-up, as you know. There were parents, the Brown family, who went to the Sheriff's Department long before Columbine and told about the pipe bombs and the death threats of Eric Harris, and a search warrant application was filled out, and then for some reason it was squashed. It was not followed up on, and there is a connection between the Harrison-Klebold families and the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department that is a bit hard for us here at Bob and Yurt Live to track down. But that search warrant was not followed up on. And then after Columbine, Randy Brown, the father, came out publicly and said, you know, we went to the Sheriff's Department and we told them of the pipe bombs and the death threats and the website. And there was an effort to get a search warrant and they dropped it. And Dave Thomas lied. Jefferson County former district attorney Dave Thomas lied to the public and said there never was a search warrant for the Columbine murderers. And, in fact, we know that the Harrison-Klebold files were brought to the school, to the command center, the mobile command center, during the crime. As the crime was unfolding, Dave Thomas was at the school with the sheriff, John Stone, and they had, now, wait a minute, John Stone was there. Whether Dave Thomas was in the mobile command center, I got to check on that. I don't recall that. But they called for the Harrison-Klebold files to be brought to the command center in real time. So the sheriff's department, they knew who this was. The parents knew who it was when they heard on the news there was a shooting. They knew who it was. The parents knew. Everybody knew. The principal at Columbine, the sheriff, they said, we have to learn how to see the warning signs. They were neon lights, warning signs, billboards, such that when the crime happened, everybody knew who did it, who was doing it. Everybody knew. And then Dave Thomas lied to the public and said there never was a search warrant application. The Brown family is lying. And Brian Rohrbaugh pushed for an investigation. Brian Rohrbaugh and Randy Brown are the key players in uncovering the truth with the Columbine cover-up. And eventually, even though Jefferson County stonewalled for years, eventually the paperwork came out and the governor's report indicated there was a search. It was finally found and made public. And it was a huge lie. And so Dave Thomas ended up, some months ago, one of our friends saw him at a local Sam's Club in the bakery. He was actually baking cakes and carrying the cakes from the oven to the storage shelf. And there's nothing wrong with bakery, being a baker. That's an honorable profession. But it was poetic justice. So anyway, Dave Thomas ran unopposed for a school board member, going from district attorney, and that was the sheriff's department, who became the baker. And Dave Thomas ended up running for school board. He's a school board member. So you have one school board member defending another school board member, Vince Chowdhury, who's charged with third-degree assault for slapping and choking his teenage daughter. Just today, he's pled guilty. And it, according to the daughter and the wife, and now Vince Chowdhury, it went like this. He came home one night, June 17th, and was honking his horn, and he got angry because his wife and his daughter did not quickly open up the garage door when he honked his car horn. So he went inside, and Catherine Chowdhury, weird last name, C-H-O-W, Chow D, H-U-R-Y, Chowdhury. Catherine Chowdhury and her daughter apologized, but they said Vince Chowdhury started slapping his 16-year-old daughter's face, and the daughter backed away, but Chowdhury began to choke her with both hands. The daughter told police she bit one of his hands in self-defense before her mother attempted to pull him off of her. And then the daughter locked herself in her room until deputies arrived. And the father, the public school board of education member, told deputies he just lost it when his wife and daughter did not hear him honking his horn in the driveway. Now, is this too much or what? These are, what are these people, fans of Alec Baldwin or what? You know, what's a liberal to do? So he admitted to slapping his daughter, but he denied choking her. And so he was asked, well, how about the bite wound on his hand? And he told his deputies his daughter's a liar, basically. He said she's, and that's pitiful, isn't it? Blame somebody else in the family. So here we have, and what this daughter, she must be pretty good. You know, that's a fast reaction. He said, I wasn't choking her. I slapped her. And that's how she bit my hand. You got to be good. You know, you never bite the hand that slaps you because it's too hard. I mean, how do you pull that one off? You got to have fast reaction. So I don't think the Karate Kid can do that. So his attorney, Dave Thomas, that's the former Jefferson County District Attorney who is the Columbine cover-up architect, according to Brian Rohrbaugh, president of American Right to Life. His desire is to resolve this relatively quickly, said his attorney, Dave Thomas. I can't stand when guilty people say that. Like Bill Clinton admitted to basically molesting this intern because for a superior in a corporation to have sexual activity with a subordinate is inherently criminal, especially in the government. The president has an intern come into his office and has sex with her. And then Clinton, finally, after lying to everyone, Clinton says, okay, it's true. I did it. Now let's just move on. Let's just move on. We'll put this behind us. I mean, he has no standing to say that. That's up to her and to the people he lied to. And so liberals, executive privilege is when you get to pay for sex with tax dollars by giving government jobs to the women you have affairs with. And that's what Bill Clinton did with Jennifer Flowers, Monica Lewinsky. He sent her over to the Pentagon for a job, Monica Lewinsky. So anyway, okay. So here we have executive privilege with the Democrats and the liberals and Dave Thomas and two school board members. One lies and the other swears to it. Okay, what else is in the news? I guess that's it for now. The Denver NBC affiliate, 9 News report on the Columbine protest, 89 days ahead of schedule. That was a lie. And under budget, on budget. And that apparently was a lie. And now I want to get back to the hospitality suite in Washington, D.C., at the National Right to Life 36th Annual Convention. And this hospitality suite, 18 floors above their convention, was hosted by American Right to Life. And we talked about this yesterday. National Right to Life tries to pull the plug on American Right to Life, even though there were, despite undeniable signs of life, and they failed. They failed to pull the plug on the American Right to Life event. But I started to go through the things that occurred, and I'd like to continue with the report of what happened in this three-day event. Peter Shin of Pro-Life Unity and Pro-Life News TV took advantage of the media center that was in one of the rooms of this hospitality suite, and he set up an ad hoc studio with lights, tripod, video camera, and interviewed American Right to Life spokesmen. And he phoned to tell American Right to Life after he left, he phoned back to the suite to tell American Right to Life that he was determined to work for a personhood effort in his state of Virginia. So that's exciting, and American Right to Life looks forward to working with Peter and all pro-life leaders to fight for personhood efforts in state after state and nationally. Then there was an Abraham Lincoln lookalike who has worked for years at Mount Rushmore the last 4 years, Everett Stadig. And he traveled to D.C. to help American Right to Life host this hospitality suite in grand style. Abe was a major attraction out on the street in front of the hotel and with many conventioneers and tourists asking to take pictures with him in his full regalia and stovepipe hat. And Abe told everyone that we're dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, no exceptions. And that's great. That's a great line out of the Gettysburg Address. And Abe would say, we're dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal, no exceptions. Perfect for American Right to Life. And he'd say, if you can't remember suite 1811, because the hospitality suite was 18 floors above the National Right to Life Convention, which was on the ground floor, and he'd say, if you can't remember Suite 1811, just remember that I was born in 1809, and then go to the next door. So it was cute. And Abe did not discriminate between pro-lifers and others, for the National Education Association had their own simultaneous convention with hundreds of delegates staying at the very Hyatt hosting National Right to Life's convention. So Abe invited the NEA delegates, known for being pro-abortion, to the American Right to Life hospitality suite. And American Right to Life had set up a Lincoln Theater in their suite. You know, we went with Abe Lincoln, well, Everett Stadig, we went with him to Ford's Theater during this trip. And the tourists who were there, and right across the street from Ford's Theater is the home where they rushed him into the home. And cabinet members held an emergency cabinet meeting in the living room, and he was in the bed in the back room. And we went in through there and saw the room there where Abraham Lincoln died and the room where his wife Mary was grieving. And so anyway, let's see here. So we had set up a Lincoln Theater in our hospitality suite, equipped with a projector and three PCs showing various DVDs focused on the strategy, Romney fairy tale ads, 40 years in the wilderness, and the Planned Parenthood racism YouTube video. We're showing all those things. And when African American NEA teachers, National Education Association teachers, entered the suite, after they filled their plates with good food and sat around the living room, then a longtime pro-life leader, Leslie Hanks, who was on the team to help lead the hospitality suite, she showed them the Planned Parenthood racism video to great effect. I mean, people were shocked, stunned to see the evidence of the cruelty of child killing and also the absurdity of trying to regulate child killing. Various regional pro-life leaders came to our hospitality suite or sent word wishing us well. The pro-lifers in the suite were distributing 600 copies of glossy and colorful American Right to Life literature and press releases, as well as 200 DVDs. The American Right to Life team at the hospitality suite included a former governor's speechwriter, pastors, plural, a flight attendant, a nurse practitioner, and other professionals, as well as ground support from Christians in the D.C. area. One of the team members, a great-grandmother, this, just for example, late one evening spent some time relaxing in the hotel's hot tub and talked for a half hour with teenage kids of National Right to Life conventioneers who were surprised and fascinated to learn about Colorado's personhood amendment. So isn't that something? You're in a family that is very involved in the pro-life battle. You're going to a Right to Life convention, and you have no idea that a historic event is taking place. Personhood is on the ballot in a statewide November ballot. And so now those kids will go back to their room and tell their parents. So it's just a great time. Just an absolute great time talking with so many people. That report was for the first day, Thursday, July 3rd, the first of the three-day project, Meeting Hostility with Hospitality, 2008. And despite undeniable signs of life, National Right to Life tried but failed to pull the plug on the American Right to Life event. And so that was day one. Days two and days three, the fireworks continued. American Right to Life's hospitality suite atop the Crystal City Hyatt at National Right to Life's 36th annual convention has demonstrated that the personhood wing of the pro-life movement is advancing while the child-killing regulators are on the defensive. Evidence was everywhere. Now, I'm reading from a report that will be posted online today at, let's see, The Passionate Pro-Lifer at blogspot.com. Now, the report I just completed from the first day, that was posted at Passionate Pro-Lifer and also at jillstanek.com and at blogs around the country. Now, evidence was everywhere that the message from our hospitality suite last year spread widely among pro-life activists around the country. In 2007, our team had to work hard to demonstrate that the partial birth abortion ban was a failure in that, as James Dobson later admitted in writing, it, quote, did not save a single human life. This year, a number of National Right to Life conventioners enjoying our good food and drink volunteered to us that the PBA ban didn't stop any abortions. And it was good to see that the rank-and-file pro-lifer was very aware that the PBA effort was a failure. In fact, one woman who was really angry, well, first this, the team that was there and I was there throughout this event, most on our team did not encounter a single person who defended the PBA ban. As we talked to pro-life activists, most of us didn't find anyone who defended the ban. One woman who came up to defend National Right to Life, she was angry at us. She's angry at American Right to Life. She's defending National Right to Life. And her son said, her own son said that, well, the PBA ban worked. And she corrected her own son in front of us. And she told him that it didn't actually ban partial birth abortion. It only changed the procedure a little, a 4-inch variation from the neck to the navel. So if even our opponents, our angriest opponents, and she was angry, now admit the futility of National Right to Life's primary objective over 15 years, then the personhood movement is really picking up steam. And we now have Judge Roy Moore condemning the partial birth abortion ban and ruling, and Nellie Gray, the founder and main organizer for the D.C. March for Life, and Congressman Bob Dornan, and so many major Christian and pro-life leaders condemning that failed effort, the PBA fiasco. Wow. So then we have a disgruntled National Right to Life president, Wanda France. Now, this is interesting. Unhappy with American Right to Life's leadership in helping to get personhood on the November 2008 ballot in Colorado and in exposing the failure of abortion regulations, National Right to Life president Wanda France caused a scene by berating a great-grandmother who's a member of the hospitality team. At one of the National Right to Life exhibition booths, Connie Sharon was, she had just purchased a bracelet. It said, "I speak up for the unborn." And she realized that someone was standing guard by her. Now, she was registered for the convention. And Connie had been talking to an elderly gentleman and his wife, exhibitors, about the fabulous TV commercials at lifecommercials.com, produced by American Right to Life Vice President Steve Curtis. And the one who was standing guard was Wanda, the NRTL president. And in front of onlookers, she angrily claimed that American Right to Life is lying. But she didn't offer any examples. So hearing this, Brian Rohrbaugh, president of American Right to Life, said, "If our group has made a mistake on the factual record of what has transpired in the pro-life industry, of course we stand ready to correct ourselves and apologize. We ask Dr. France to indicate what she believes we've erred about. She is either correct or she is wrong. We don't believe we're wrong, and our serious charges of moral relativism and deceit lodged against those who regulate child killing. It does seem certain, however, that either Wanda or myself has misrepresented the truth." Whoa. That's a pretty good response to Wanda saying American Right to Life is lying. So Connie told Wanda France that American Right to Life helped the campaign, the Colorado for Equal Rights campaign, and their historic accomplishment putting personhood on their statewide ballot. And despite disagreements, we in National Right to Life should be able to celebrate that together. Wanda disagreed and claimed that it's the wrong time because first we need another judge on the Supreme Court. However, 100 people coming up to our hospitality suite received a copy of our press release about our $10,000 offer to National Right to Life to name a single pro-life justice on the U.S. Supreme Court, just one. In fact, Antonin Scalia was on PBS June 20th with Charlie Rose saying, "Hey, I don't agree the Constitution protection for personhood applies to the unborn. I just don't agree." We're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a fabulous Christian school, Maranatha. And our website is KGOV.com. May God bless you.